You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, September 22nd, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Your work week, hopefully, is coming to an end. I realize that weekends are kind of an optional thing anymore in the wage-slaving world we live in. But nonetheless, it does officially mark the official end to the work week. And for whatever reason, I'm glad you chose to end up your work week here with us here at Radio Albion. And as always, I want to remind everybody, we continue to put our Sven Longshanks support links on these shows, and I hope you'll take the time to write him a letter. I personally I prefer the email option. I mean, seriously, I put like $20 on that. I don't know, a long time ago, and I'm still using that same $20. It's very reasonable price-wise, and you don't have to fool with the snail mail and wondering whether or not he actually gets it. You know it's going to actually get delivered. It's what I recommend, but hey, you do you. I do continue to try to uphold Sven Longshank's tradition. He always wanted the Friday Daily Nationalist to be lighthearted. I find that very difficult. This is one of those things I find difficult. It's funny because I did the Daily Nationalist on Friday with Sven for years, and I find doing the Friday Daily Nationalist solo more difficult than I find doing the Monday Daily Nationalist solo, even though I never did the Monday Daily Nationalist before. And I think the reason for that is Sven would, 99.999% of the time, Sven would pick these stories for Friday and what he would deem a lighthearted story. I have a difficulty doing that, and today's probably going to be another example of that. I picked this story because I did laugh at it, but I didn't laugh at the topic. The topic is actually one of tragedy and serious. And what I found laughable was the story itself, and what I mean by the story itself is the way this story is written. The ability to just, by the media, to simply pretend, like there's not an elephant standing in the middle of the room. I mean, they instead, they talk about these fantastical made-up features. It's like if you were in a big room and there was literally an elephant standing in the room and you're sitting there going, are we going to talk about this giant elephant here that's breaking furniture and crapping all over the floor? And everybody in the room is chattering about mythical fairies that no one can actually see, but they are 100% sure and going to tell you that these mythical fairies are right around you. They're buzzing all over. You see that big pile of crap on the floor? It's because of the mythical fairies. It's just, it's absurdity beyond belief. It's absurdity to the point that you have to think, and I've said this often, that they're being absurd on purpose. Like, it's a form of control. It's a form of exerting dominance over you that they can come up with these absolutely and utterly absurd narratives and yet tell you these things with a straight face, and you're supposed to believe them. And you wind up sitting there thinking, is the person telling you this actually believe this? Or are they just, I don't know, just being completely disingenuous? It remains a mystery. You often hear they'll talk about China and Russia, and they'll say, they'll make it a point when a news story is talking about it, they'll say state-run media, Chinese state-run media, Russian state-owned media. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with pointing out that, the media source here is state-owned or, heavily influenced or controlled by the government of this other nation. It's information to know, but more and more, it seems irrelevant. I get a lot of news stories that we use here in the Daily Nationalist. I use a lot of material from RT. I know Dr. Johnson does as well. Nobody sits here and says RT is not influenced at all by the Russian government. And yet, they have much more, you can find much more factual information on RT versus so-called independent Western media. This always begs the question to me because they talk about state-run media. This is state-run. You have the global, what is it, the Global Times, that's the Chinese English language media, and it's obviously run by the Chinese government. And yet, you expect that they're going to tell you these things that line up with what the Chinese government says. So when you read a story in the Global Times, you're not sitting there going, wow, I wonder why they happen to be telling me just the very same thing that the Chinese government says. You already know. And yet they'll point this out. It's Chinese state-run media. As if that's a condemnation. And yet they condemn themselves. Because then it begs the question, here in the U.S., we have all of this so-called independent media. You see, it's not owned by the U.S. government. You have all of this independent media, which isn't so independent. It's all owned by these corporate. You have this corporate-run, corporate-owned media. And you have all this wide array of so-called non-government-controlled media, and yet one has to beg the question, why is it, how is it, that we have this wide range, a vast array of independent media, and yet they walk lockstep in what the government says? Even more so, I would say, than so-called, state-run or state-owned media from other countries. How do you say the Global Times, for instance, walks more in lockstep with the positions of the Chinese government than the U.S. media does? And we have all of these various, that's one outlet. And here we have all of this so-called independent media, and they all say the exact same thing. One has to beg the question. It would seem to me the easiest answer here is probably the same people that have bought and paid for the U.S. government have also bought and paid for the U.S. media. I mean, this is the simplest conclusion to come from. Otherwise, they're demanding that they demand that you agree that no, all of these media outlets have simply come to the same conclusion as the government by pure coincidence, which of course is utterly ridiculous. And of course, it's not just the media. Internet search engines are broken. It's broken. If you try to look up, I did a show recently talking about all these coincidences around the fire in Hawaii, around Lahaina. And, I'm doing a search just to come up with some of the various theories. If I was doing research and I wanted to say, well, what are some of the different, conspiracy theories that people have? The media is running around talking about conspiracy theories. What are some of these conspiracy theories? So I look it up and I start looking up some of the various things that people are saying that I have heard to see if I could find a first person account of what people are saying has happened here. And no matter what, every result was nothing but mainstream media articles debunking these so-called conspiracy theories. You couldn't find the original material at all. It's all hidden from you. All you get is CNN, NBC, CBS, whatever, NPR, all of these official media accounts talking about how all that is disinformation. That's all disinformation. There was a story circulating the other day. They were blaming Russia and China for all this disinformation. It's Russia and China's fault that people are questioning the official narrative. Now, we're going to go ahead and get into today's story with all of that rambling ahead. And again, the story itself regards a tragic thing that has recently happened in Libya. The humorous, lighthearted part, and hopefully y'all can see that, is the way in which this is covered by the U.S. media. Once again, today's story is from USA Today via Yahoo News. And it's the level of willful ignoring of the elephant in the room to talk about the magical fairies is what I find humor. So as I laugh and mock through this article, understand I'm not laughing and mocking that people have had their lives destroyed, which is, the heart of what has happened in Libya. I'm not doing that at all. I really don't mistake that for being the case. They had this recent flooding, the massive flooding event in Libya, and a lot of people got wiped out, people who didn't have much to begin with. It got wiped out. It was a devastating disaster. Now, one has to think about, well, what else has happened in Libya? Because there was this devastating disaster, and you see these people walking around in the mud, and their houses wiped out, and obviously a lot of these people didn't have much to begin with. But you remember several years ago, Libya was actually doing pretty good for itself, wasn't it? Libya was at the point everybody had paid for education and health care, and people were actually thriving. Libya was advancing to the point they were talking about promoting a dollar-free currency to do trade within Africa in. And then something strange happened, didn't it? The purely defensive NATO came in, and I don't even remember the reason. I guess it was the usual, oh, some people are protesting, so they went in and bombed. I remember at the time, though, thinking, what are they even justifying this with? I mean, they just barely hung a fig leaf. Usually they were, you know, pretty good about hanging a fig leaf. I mean, for instance, with the Iraq situation, they made to all this trouble of making up this whole, you know, shake some sugar in a vial and say it's anthrax and Saddam is going to nuke us all. It was weird gibberish, but they did at least try to create some sort of narrative and a reason for what they were doing. I remember at the time thinking, well, what exactly are they saying? They're saying some people were protesting or something, so we're going to bomb the country to oblivion, and this is going to help them somehow for human rights and democracy. Unfortunately, the narratives haven't made any more sense. Anyway, the point is, Libya was doing real well for itself under Muammar Gaddafi, who basically was their king. They use this term, dictator. Because if they use the term king, it doesn't sound as threatening. You have to remember, everything they tell us, everything they present to us, these narratives, these stories, they're all marketing. Just as they market the latest shampoo to you, or hair care products, or makeup, or whatever the hell, whatever shoes, you know, they market the shoes. All of these news items are marketing. I don't call someone like Muammar Gaddafi the king, because you say, why are they going in there, king? The king? No, he's a dictator. And see, dictator has a connotation of evil to it. It's an evil dictator. He's going to suppress the people protesting, paid by the U.S. Articles titled, Devastating Disaster. And again, you look at the old pictures and you're familiar with what Libya was like before NATO went in and liberated them. And you have to think, this disaster would not have been nearly on this scale had that not happened, right? It's an elephant in the room, is it not? But our story says, devastating disaster study links climate change and horrific flood that killed thousands. Because nothing else has happened in Libya over the past, what, 20 years? Nothing's happened in Libya. You see, it's climate change. Thousands of people died in a horrific flood in Libya earlier this month, a tragedy that was worsened by human-caused climate change, a study released Tuesday found. In fact, the warming world made the Libyan disaster 50 times more likely with, quote, building in floodplains, poor dam maintenance, and other local factors, turning the extreme weather into a humanitarian disaster, the study said. Awful curious, the study didn't notice anything else that might have contributed to, I don't know, poor maintenance of the dams. There's something else that might have caused a collapsing society there. Oh, yes. The bombs of democracy that were dropped on it. As Hillary Clinton cackled, we came, we saw he died. As if it was a big joke. And now more people continue to die. But don't worry. It's because of the climate change. And see, it's a study. We have a study that says it, so that makes it officially true. All of this, it's like a quasi-religion. It really is. For these people, the science coming out with a quote-unquote study is tantamount to Moses coming off the mountain with the stone tablets. It came from on high. It came from the science. Julie Arrighi, director of the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center. You thought the Red Cross was just about helping people out of a disaster, you know? Like, they're the ones that show up and bring water and blankets and some food when disaster strikes. You know, that's what we were told our whole lives. Who knew that they have a climate center? And by the way, if you do an image search for Julia Riggi, she looks just like you would think she would look. Julia Riggi says, quote, "This devastating disaster shows how climate change fueled extreme weather events are combining with human factors to create even bigger impacts as more people, assets, and infrastructure are exposed and vulnerable to flood risks." Well, maybe NATO should stop bombing people for democracy. That might be a good place to start. The study was prepared by World Weather Attribution Group, which does quick analysis of weather and climate events to determine what, if any, role human-caused climate change may have had. Now, this is just an interesting tidbit. You can start looking and you do this circle jerk, and this is the way this whole thing works. If you look up the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center, and you look at, like, you know, their partners, well, their partners are people like the World Weather Attribution people. And if you look at the World Weather Attribution Group, their partners are the same people and the same people that did the study and the same people that did this over here and the same people that did this other. And, you know, so you've got like this handful, like you've got this handful of these NGOs, and they're all partners and they're all just promoting the same thing, but they quote each other as though they're quoting from somebody in authority. Well, we're not just making this up. We're quoting the World Weather Attribution Group, who's also a part of the same group that we're all a part of. It's just, and they just sit there and point at each other and say, oh, no, I'm quoting an expert. I'm quoting this guy right here. And that guy, when he's telling, he's like, I'm quoting an expert. And they're pointing back at the same person. In early September, a storm that affected Spain and a separate system named Storm Daniel, which formed in the eastern Mediterranean, brought large amounts of rain over a 10-day period to several countries, including Spain, Greece, Bulgaria, Turkey, and Libya. The heavy rain led to massive floods across the region, killing 4 people in Bulgaria, 5 in Spain, 7 in Turkey, and 17 in Greece, according to a statement from the WWA. However, the greatest disaster occurred in Libya, where the floods caused the collapse of 2 dams. The exact number of casualties is still not clear, as the death toll has varied, with government officials and aid agencies giving tallies ranging from about 4,000 to 11,000 dead. Meteorologists say Storm Daniel was a particularly potent quote-unquote metacane, which is shorthand for Mediterranean tropical-like cyclone. Well, I wonder why there's a higher death toll in Libya than places such as Spain, Greece, Bulgaria, and Turkey. Let me think. Oh, yes, NATO hasn't bombed those countries. How do you not notice? How do you go here and you write an entire article on climate change gibberish, and yet the reader of this is supposed to, like, completely block out of their mind that something else in the not-so-distant past happened in Libya? Because if you look at Libya, you look at pictures of Libya when Gaddafi was running the country, and it looked like a regular modern country. They had better benefits. The citizens there had better access, better benefits to a better life than many people in the West do. And yet now, just as if by magic, you see these dams just collapsed all on their own. The Libyans are stupid. That's why they can't. That's why they're unable to maintain their dams, just because they're stupid. Or perhaps because the functioning government that was there was bombed to oblivion by NATO, which we continue to be told, in the context of the Russia conflict, is a completely defensive organization. They build troops up on your border. Don't worry about that, because everybody knows NATO is a completely defensive organization. Just look at Libya. The scientists in the new study found that human-caused climate change made the disaster in Libya up to 50 times more likely. Not NATO bombs. More likely to happen, with up to 50% more rain during the period as a result of human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. Scientists used established peer-reviewed methods to determine the contribution of climate change to the floods. You know, I'm this close. As you all well know, I find journalists to be the scum of the earth. I do. I think journalists are the scum of the earth. And I'm pretty close to just going ahead and ranking scientists with that. And the only thing that's kept me from that is I do realize there are still scientists out there who, you know, are actually doing real science. You know, they're not these bought and paid for shills. So I don't want to lump them all in. Where on the other hand, Western journalists are all shills. They're all scum of the earth. There's not really anybody left doing any actual journalism, any actual reporting. They're all journalists. Now, something here. Scientists use established peer-reviewed methods. I have to laugh at this because some actual other scientists here, not that long ago, they did some other research of their own. And you know what they found? Because you see, they talk about peer-reviewed. It's peer-reviewed. And you're supposed to think that means that, you know, it's been tested. So we know 100% that this is accurate. But we know that that is not the case. Because here, not that long ago, some other actual scientists went back and looked at this peer-reviewed research. Because suppose if it's been peer-reviewed, you would think that, like, people have tested, you know, the theories and the experiments done to see if they're replicatable. But that's not what they found. They did research. These other actual scientists did research. They went back and looked at all these peer-reviewed studies. And they found like something like 90% of them, they couldn't duplicate them. They had the assertion. They had this was our research. And this was what we found. And this was the method by which we found it. So these other scientists went in and followed the same method to see if they could come up with the same result. And in something like 90% of the cases, they couldn't. And in fact, they couldn't even explain how the hell they came to those conclusions. Well, I can tell you how they came to those conclusions. They made it up. If your paycheck is being written by, I don't know, the WWA or whoever the hell else, well, of course, you're going to find the results that they want you to find. It's like how people go in and will blindly do whatever their doctor says and never question that there might be a profit motive at work here. You know, if you take your car to a mechanic and say, I just want you to do a checkup. If you go in there and specifically say, I want you to fix the brakes, well, he's going to fix the brakes. But if you just take your car in, you say, well, and he's like, well, what's the problem? Well, I don't think there is a problem. I just want you to give it a good going over. He's going to find something because it's a profit motive for him. I'll tell you a little tidbit of factual information. I know this for a fact because I used to work around this industry. Front end alignment machines, you know, like you go get a front end aligned on your car. They're extremely expensive. They're extremely expensive. There's no way when a shop, when a mechanic shop buys a front end alignment machine, there's no way they're going to ever pay for that machine with front end alignments. There's not. They will not pay for the machine ever with front end alignments. That's a fact. So how are they sold on buying a front end alignment machine? Well, because when they sell them the front end alignment machine, they explain to them that you're not going to make your money off the front end alignments. You're going to make your money off of the parts you're going to sell. When they put your car on that front end alignment machine, they always 99% of the time they're going to come back to you and say, well, I can't align it. Well, why not? Your tie rod, you got your left hand tie rod's a little bit loose. There just ain't no way I can align it. Well, they already got it on the machine and you're at the mechanic shop. So what are you going to say more than likely? And say, well, how much is it going to cost me if you go ahead and you replace that tie rod and you can go ahead and align it? Yeah, I can align it then. How much is it going to cost me? Cha-ching! That's how they pay for the front end alignment machine. And yet people will go into the doctor. And when the doctor comes up with, well, we're going to need to run some more tests. They go, okay, they're just trying to be sure. No, they're billing you for every one of those tests. These people, the science is no different. They're getting paid to come up with some conclusion where carbon dioxide is destroying the planet. And you're never supposed to notice, just like you're not supposed to notice that NATO bombed Libya to oblivion. And maybe that has something to do with the fact that the infrastructure is now in total decay and unable to hold up to a, you know, an unseasonably large rainfall. You're not supposed to question now that carbon dioxide, which is what plants breathe, plants have to have carbon dioxide. You're not supposed to notice now that all of a sudden that weirdly became a pollutant and is destroying the planet. Overall, according to the WWA, the event is still extremely unusual and can only be expected to occur around once in 300 to 600 years in the current climate. In Libya, quote, a combination of several factors, including long-lasting armed conflict, political instability, potential design flaws, and poor maintenance of dams, all contributed to the disaster. The interaction of these factors and the very heavy rain that was worsened by climate change created the extreme death and destruction, the study said. Several factors. Long-lasting armed conflict, check. Political instability, check. Poor maintenance of the dams, check. Well, I wonder why all, where did those things come from? Did they just spring up out of nowhere? Surely there's something that brought that about, isn't there? But of course there is. But of course there is. It's climate change. And as we conclude the article, it's not just climate change. Why, it was just sheer bad luck. According to Yale Climate Connections meteorologist Jeff Masters, who is not a part of the study but wrote about the connection between climate change and Libya last week, the flood disaster was driven in part by the meteorological bad luck of Daniel coming ashore directly atop a compact zone of higher elevation. Maybe this is the bad luck of getting bombed by NATO. Maybe that had something to do with it, but no. That's only part of the story, though. Human-induced climate change is loading the dice, enhancing the ability of tropical cyclones and similar storms to produce extreme rain as they draw more water vapor out of oceans into a warming atmosphere. It was just bad luck. You say they had bad luck. I always love how they use these things, you know, loading the dice. It was like I did the story we talked here a while back about people, you know, the vaccine and the COVID. And it says the COVID, you know, I remember the scientist in this story was saying the virus sees this. The virus sees that you're not vaccinated and it's ready to pounce. Same thing here. It's just talking gibberish. It's loading the dice. I always think about olden times, you know, and I think way back in olden times, and you had magicians, you know, and they would perform their magic spells, and they would try to, like, you know, they would use these incantations to bring about magic. And I read this gibberish, and I think it's the same thing, you know. It's like they're reciting magical incantations. You see, the climate is loading the dice. The climate, the man-made climate change, is loading the dice to enhance the power of the storm of the heat dome that's over. Just magical incantations. You see it everywhere. The democracy values of who we are and the international rules-based order, they repeat the magic incantation. If you start seeing these marketing slogans they use and you start viewing them in the context of a magical incantation, it makes it funnier. You know, every time you read some politician standing up there talking about our values and our international rules-based order, and you just see them as they're up there chanting their magic at you, hoping that it dazzles your mind and puts you into a trance. And this is the same thing. Man-made climate change, man-made enhanced climate change. You see the hurricanes, the weather sees this, and it takes advantage of the fact that you're destroying the planet by eating, you know, meat and driving your car around and not supporting a one-world government and paying a global tax and living in a 15-minute city and being censored and taking the booster your latest vaccine from the deadly virus. You see, because you're not doing all of these things, the climate change sees this. Voodoo, 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 voodoo. It's like they're dancing around sticking pins in a doll. It's the same mindset. Only here in the West, we call that the science. It really is utter ridiculous. One of our things we do, we speak the truth. And if you're listening to our content on Radio Albion, I have to believe that you have a certain amount of value for the truth. And one of the purposes in speaking the truth is you want to remember. Regardless what age you are, because the older you are, you remember. And if you're younger, remember these things. When they come out and proclaim things, and when they come out and do things and give you ridiculous justifications for them, you speak the truth, and this helps you to remember these things. Because it's guaranteed down the road, these liars are going to tell you something completely different and act like they never said that before. What happened to the people in Libya? And these are human beings. And what has happened to these people is an utter tragedy. Anytime people don't have very, you know, people lose everything they have. And even people that already don't have very much, and they lose that. It's a tragic thing. You read these stories and it's easy to just see them as images on a TV screen or on your computer. But you always want to remember these are actual living, breathing human beings that have hopes and dreams for the future and children and whatnot. it's always, you always want to remember, it's a great tragedy. But we have to remember that this tragedy has happened for a reason. There is a big fat elephant in the room crapping all over the floor. That's a reason that this level of devastation took place. You see, the same people that brought about, that enabled this to actually happen by bombing the country into oblivion, are the same people now that are turning around and trying to tell you that no, all of this is man-made and it's your fault. No, really, the same people that supported this NATO bombing, I can guarantee it's the same people. The same people that supported the things, the same people that came out, the government people that came out, the people that supported and did this bombing of Libya, the same people that are all part of this system that did cause this, that did contribute to this level of devastation for these people. They want to turn around now and blame you. It's because you're not eating the bugs. It's because you're driving a car. You're not paying a global tax to a one world government and listening to them and being censored enough. You're the cause of it. When they blame, remember, anytime they blame man-made climate change, what they're actually saying is it's your fault. Because climate change, by their very own narrative, climate change is only happening because you are doing these things, because you're eating too well, you have a car, you're able to get around, and you're not being censored enough. That's, you're not taxed enough, you're not censored enough, and you need to be a slave to their one world government. So anytime they say the problem is man-made climate change, what they're actually saying is it's your fault. And this will gall you. It's healthier just to laugh at it because it's so stupid. But the very same people that are pushing this there, because it comes from the government. I'm not saying the Red Cross climate dumb bitch. I'm not saying she bombed Libya, obviously, but all of this is pushed from the government. So the same government that bombed Libya into the Stone Age and laughed about it at the time, now that this unseasonable rain comes in and there's this massive flood, and because of the result of these people bombing them to the Stone Age, the disaster was multiple times worse than it could have been or should have been. Now these same people are turning around and saying, it's your fault. It's your fault. This is why you never, ever want to forget. Don't forget what they do. Don't forget what they say. Because later down the road, not only are they going to deny or ignore the fact that they did and said those things, they're liable to turn around and blame you for it. We're going to wrap up on this note. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope you don't have to work. Either way, I do hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope you'll find the time to catch all of our great content that we've had this past week. Maybe if you haven't so far, you'll have a chance to go back, check it out. We always do our best here at Radio Albion. So as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.